Amen. Turn your Bibles tonight, if you would please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 7 through 9. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this gathering on the evening of the Lord's Day. We thank you for those who have come out and honor you with their presence. We thank you for those who are watching and listening and being part of our service, though they might not be able to be here with us. We ask your blessing on them. And Father, I pray that tonight as we look into your word, that you might challenge our hearts and change our lives, that you might convict us of our shortcomings and comfort us with the Holy Spirit. I pray, my Father, that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And I pray that you would do that which is pleasing in your sight. Teach us tonight and help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit reveals one of God's eternal and unalterable principles. The principle of the sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. I'll say that again. You reap what you sow. And this reaping is both in kind and quantity. What you sow is what you will reap. And how much you sow determines how much you will reap. If you sow a few seeds, you will reap a few stalks. If you sow a lot of seeds, you will reap a lot of stalks. But the point I want to share with tonight is the you part of the principle. You set the standard by how much you sow and what you sow. You sow little, you'll reap little. You sow much, you'll sow much. The scripture says here, if you sow to the flesh, then you will reap of the flesh. In other words, if you plant your hope, your time, your trust, your talents, your treasures, your emotions, or what have you, in the things of the flesh, then you will of the flesh reap, it says here, corruption. Now that word corruption means decay and death. Everything you sow to the flesh will decay and die. Now there are some things that I believe in this world we have to sow to the flesh or to the material things and the worldly things because we live in this world and we have to spend some investment in material things and things of the world. But what he's trying to say here is that's all we're going to get. If we're sowing to the flesh, that's all we're going to get back is stuff of the flesh. And that decays and it'll eventually die. But if we plant our hope and our trust and our time and our talents and our treasures and our emotions or what have you in the things of the Spirit, the spiritual things of God, he says here, we will reap life everlasting. In other words, the things that have life and will last forever. So we are sowing all the time, aren't we? And we're either sowing into that which is of the flesh and will die and decay and die, or we're sowing to the things of the Spirit which are spiritual, which will have life and eternity. If you sow to the flesh, you will appear before the Lord Jesus empty-handed or with wood, hay, and stubble at the bema seat of Christ. If you sow to the Spirit, you will appear with the gold, silver, and precious stones to cast at His feet. And so in our sowing, we must be careful to be sowing to the Spirit. And this principle is guaranteed by God. God, it says here, is not mocked. Don't think that you can have a different outcome. Don't think that you can sow to the flesh and reap life everlasting, or don't think that you can sow to the Spirit and reap corruption. Don't think that you can plant corn and get squash. Don't think that you can plant corn and get berries. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, he said, that's what you will reap. God tells us in verse 9 not to get weary sowing to the Spirit, because the day of reaping will come. And this is an inescapable principle that is set in motion by the Creator himself. He created the principle, but you set the standard. The word standard means a level of quality or attainment. Each person has no one else to blame for the level of quality or attainment connected with their sowing than they themselves. You control both the what and the how much. Therefore, you set the standard of your reaping by the content and character of your sowing. We like to blame other people. But the reality is, they're not sowing, we're sowing. They're sowing and they're reaping what they sow, and I'm sowing and reaping what I sow, and you're sowing and reaping what you sow, and we set the standard, we control the what and the how much of our sowing, and therefore we set the standard of the how much and what of our reaping. You follow me? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said, "Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom." Here it comes. "For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again." Well, he said, "Given it shall be given." Given what? Anything. We always connect that with money, and that's the primary text here, but what he's talking about is anything that you give, it's coming back to you. You sow it, you reap it. You give the measure, you get it measured back to you again. You give time to God's work, and he'll make sure you have time for your work. Amen. You give love, you'll receive love. You give thanks, you'll receive thanks, etc. And so tonight I want to look at three areas of sowing from which you are doing some reaping. You're reaping now what you have sown, and you will reap in the future what you decide to start sowing or continue sowing. So we're going to look at three areas I think the Scripture deals with. The first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 8, and it is materially. Sowing and reaping materially. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. "But I say, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now here the sowing and reaping principle is applied directly to giving. Verse 7. What does sowing sparingly? Well, he says if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And it says we're supposed to give, in verse 7, as it be purpose in our heart. That word purpose means choose by yourself. It's your choice. You choose what you're going to give, and you choose how often you're going to give, and you choose how much you're going to give. That's what you purpose in your heart. The second thing mentioned with this giving is cheerfully. That means with a merry heart. We heard about a merry heart this morning. That's our attitude. And so he's talking here about giving, and he said, it's your choice, and it's your attitude. And then it should be by faith, because verse 8 gives us the faith part. And God is able to make all grace abound to it. You see what he's saying? You're giving in verse 7 because of your faith of what God can do in verse 8. What can God do? I want you to notice the words here, all grace. He can make all grace. He talks about all sufficiency. He talks about in all things. And he says, always, in every good thing. Listen to what he says. And God is able. So what have you done? Up in verse 7, let's go all the way to verse 6. You're going to sow bountifully. And you're sowing bountifully because that's you purposed in your heart to do so. And you're doing it cheerfully. And you're doing it in faith, believing that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God's not going to let you down. God said, you sow like that, and man, you're going to reap like that. God supplies the generous giver with enough to meet every need and perform every good thing. See, we either believe God or we don't. Our sowing in the material world attests to the depth of our faith in God for material things. Let me say that again. Our sowing in the material world attests to the depth of our faith toward God in material things. Do we really believe God will take care of us materially? Do we really believe God can somehow make this grace abound that I'll have all sufficiency in all things and that all my needs will be taken care of? Do we really believe that? What attests to that is our giving. I didn't say it. God said it. Here's a promise from God in this regard. Proverbs 11:25. Now listen. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now this word liberal is different than the word that's being used in the political scene right now, because this word liberal means generous. I tell you, the only way liberals in the political sense today are generous is with your money. Right? They're not generous. You check the giving statements.
That's right. That's right.
They're not generous with their money, but they're generous with your money. But this word means a soul that is a blessing. That's what the word means. The soul that is a blessing. The generous person shall be made fat. So I hear some of you say, I ain't giving nothing then. Right? The word fat simply means satisfied. It means to fatten up. Now, we fatten up a cow by giving it food abundantly. We don't get fat by eating the barest number of calories needed to sustain life. We get fat by eating more calories than we need. And God is saying that the person who is a blessing by generosity will be given more than he or she needs and thereby be fat or blessed in areas of generosity. Amen. Notice also it says, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So God is saying when you share your water with others, then others will be sharing their water with you. You know, we can think of a time of a drought and water can become scarce and we can get awful selfish and greedy and we have this so much water and we're keeping that water all for ourselves. God says, you know what? If you'll water, you'll be watered. God can give you more water. You can keep the water you got and sip on it a little while, or you can be generous and give some water away and let God give you more water. God is saying that the person who is a blessing by generosity will be given more than they need. Now, the Lord Jesus spoke this principle in Luke 6:38, which I already quoted, and he said this. Let me quote it again. Given, it shall be given unto you. Did you hear that? Sometimes we just hear the give part and turn off. Boom. But God said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, listen to what he says. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Giving is sowing, and given unto you is the reaping. Good, he says, how are you going to reap? If you're going to give, how are you going to reap? You're sowing, how are you going to reap? He said, you're going to reap good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, the other day, I had a big jar of some powder, and I had a smaller jar of powder, and I wanted to get as much of this powder into this can as I could, because this can doesn't fit where I want it to be. So, you know what I did? I poured powder from this can into this can until it got to the top. And then you know what I did? I took that can and I went boom, 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 on the counter. And all of a sudden, it started going down. And I put some more powder in. And then I went boom, 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 and it went down. And I got a whole lot more powder in there after it was shaken together. Huh? God said, that's what I'm going to do for you. I'm not just going to fill you up. I'm going to press it down. I'm gonna shake it together. You know when you get a box of cereal from the store and the box is this big and the cereal's that high? You know what happened? It got shaken down in transit. It used to be fuller, but all those bumps and all the handling and all the flakes are breaking up and falling down. God said, I'm going to give to you pressed down, shaken together. Picture that might be the lawn and leaf bag when you're out in your yard and you fill it up. And you got more leaves, and so you put your foot in that, and you push it, and you push it, and you press it down, and then you get more leaves in it. That's what God says. He said, if you'll be a liberal soul, if you'll be a generous person, he said, I'm going to give to you, and I'm going to shake things up so I can get more in there. I'm going to press it down so I can pile more in there.
Amen.
He said, shall men give into your bosom? God will move men's hearts to give in response to your giving. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, sir.
And he said, same measure. So you give with a teaspoon, guess what? You're going to get back with a teaspoon. But if you give with a cup, you'll get back with a cup. Some of you give with a bushel. I know you do. And you know what? It's coming back in bushels, believe me. God said so. And he said, be not weary, for in due season the bushels are coming.
Amen.
But see, you're the one who set the standard of receiving by the standard of your giving. And let me say this about cheerful giver. We are always cheerful when we receive, right? We like being the cheerful receiver. So if you want to be the cheerful receiver more often, practice being the cheerful giver more frequently.
Amen.
You set the standard for the material blessings in your life by the standard of your own generosity and benevolence. Let's go on to point number two. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Everybody went, we got away from that part. Proverb number 18. See, it's just a principle. You can choose to practice the principle or not. That's up to you. That's between you and God. But don't be complaining if you're not practicing. Understand? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So let's go to the second area of reaping and sowing, and I've labeled it socially. Reaping and sowing and reaping socially. Proverb 18, verse 24. And it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I think we're talking about sowing a little friendliness here. You know, when you sow a little friendliness, it'll bring you more friends. If you want friends, be a friend. Or at least be friendly. You know, friendliness goes a long way. Friendliness is a form of sowing. You sow a smile, you'll begin reaping smiles. You sow a handshake, you will begin reaping handshakes. You sow a, hey, how you doing, hello, you'll start reaping hellos. You sow concern, and you'll reap concern. You sow the offering of help, and you'll reap offerings of help. That's how it works. I've watched as from time to time a visitor will come in and sit, and others will come up and welcome them, but the visitor does not behave him or herself friendly. The visitor sits there for weeks, not saying anything to anyone, not showing any signs of friendliness. And then the visitor eventually ends up leaving, saying that the church is unfriendly, when in fact the church was friendly, but they were not. They did not sow. I remember my wife and I, when we first got saved, we went to church. And we were at this church, and another young couple came about the same time. And there were these two, we're both two young couples, newly saved in the same church. And we thought it was the friendliest church in town. They ended up leaving, saying, that church isn't friendly. Now, how can that be true? It's either friendly or it isn't friendly. Here was the difference. When we went to that church, we were friendly. We went in and we said, you know what? We're going to this church. This is going to be our church, and we're going to be part of this church, and we're just going to be friendly. And we were friendly, and people were friendly, and we made friends, and we stayed. They came in, and they wanted everybody to be friendly to them, but they were not sowing friendliness themselves. And after a while, people get tired of trying to be friendly to somebody who just will not be friendly. Another visitor comes and shakes hands and says hello, is friendly, when someone greets them, and pretty soon others befriend them and they have friends. I'd rather be a friend with a person with a smile on their face than a frown on their face. Amen? You want to walk up and be friendly to somebody and all they do is scowl at you. You're going to say, well, you know, maybe I'll go over to somebody else. I'm not making excuses for an unfriendly church, folks. We have a responsibility to look around and make visitors feel welcome and want to come back. That's our response. It's your responsibility. I'm doing my best I can. But I can't. But they need to know, have more than just a pastor be nice to them. They need congregants, other people to come and say, hey, how you doing? I'm glad you're here. And how'd you happen to come here? And things like that. However, dear visitor, that will not keep up forever if there is no reciprocation. You need to sow as well, right? We needed to sow when we went to the new church. We sowed friendliness and we ended up having lots of friends. Now, concerning friendship in general, when you sow friendship by being friendly, you will eventually reap some friends. Remember what it said, in due season ye shall reap what? If you faint not, don't give up. Just keep being friendly, just keep being friendly, just keep being friendly, just keep sowing that friendliness, smile on your face, a handshake, a howdy, how you doing? And it'll come. It'll start coming in. If you don't have many friends, look around for someone who may have even less friends than you and be a friend to them. That's sowing. Try to remember or at least imagine what it was like to be a stranger and reach out. You know, God always had a special spot for the stranger in Israel, didn't he? He was always taking care of that stranger. And he said to Israel, remember, you used to be strangers. Remember what it was like to be a stranger. And don't let someone else feel like a stranger. Try to remember or at least imagine what it was like to need a little help and not have any friends to help. And be a friend. Reach out and help. Try to remember or at least imagine what it was like to need someone to talk to and have no one to talk to. Reach out. Sow a little friendliness. Be someone someone can talk to. Try to remember in those socially awkward moments to make it a little easier for the new person by being a friend at the moment. If you sow esteem for others, you will be esteemed. If you sow loving, others will love you. If you sow respect, you will be respected. If you sow politeness, you will be treated politely. But be assured, if you sow disregard, you will reap disregard, because God is not mocked. You sow standoffishness, you will reap standoffishness. Just the way it is. You say, well, it's not my personality. Well, you know what? Sometimes that farmer don't feel like going out and planting that field either. But if he wants to eat, he's got to go out and plant the field. If he wants to have a crop, he's got to go out and plant the field. Sometimes, listen, we got to go beyond ourselves by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit and be more than we are for somebody else's sake. Now, let me say this about sowing and reaping with regards to friends. Not only will you reap in quantity, but you will reap in kind. Therefore, be careful where you sow your seed of friendliness. And be careful about what kind of friend you are, because that's the kind of friends you're going to get. So if you're not a loyal friend, you won't get loyal friends. If you're not a caring friend, you won't get caring friends. If you're not a faithful friend, you won't get faithful friends. You understand? If you're not a loving friend, you won't get loving friends. If you're not an honest friend, you won't get honest friends. If you're not a godly friend, you won't get godly friends. That's just the principle. Don't complain about not having friends. Go grow some. You set the standard for your reaping socially by the content and character of your social sowing. Let's go to the third part. Go to James chapter 2. We're talking about sowing and reaping in response to material things, in response to social things. Now, we're going to look at James chapter 2, sowing and reaping, number 3, judgmentally. We had materially, we had socially, now we're at judgmentally. James chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." We reap what we sow in the area of judgment. Now, this word judgment means accusation, condemnation, or to pass sentence. So God says, if you're going to accuse people without mercy, you're going to be accused without mercy. If you condemn people without mercy, you will be condemned by others without mercy. If you pass sentence without mercy, then people are going to pass sentence on you without mercy. That's sowing and reaping, isn't it? We are all the time making judgments about people, places, and things. And sometimes our judgments are accurate, sometimes they are not. Sometimes our judgments are knowledgeable, and sometimes they are not. Sometimes our judgments are the result of investigation into the facts, and sometimes they are not. But all of our judgments ought to involve mercy. Mercy simply means compassion and pity. You know, when I see some people and the way they live, and I see some Christians and the Christian lives they have, I have pity on them. I pity them. Because they're living substandard. They're living in the shadow instead of in the light, and in the shallows instead of in the depths. And I don't get angry at them, and I don't judge them and pass sentence on them. I have pity for them. I feel bad for them. God is a God of mercy. Amen. Psalm 118, verse 29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." That verse, that same phrase, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," is repeated 43 times in the Bible. I think God wants us to know something about himself. And he says, "I am merciful." You know, God tells us, "Be holy, for I am holy." He just as easily tells us in the Scripture, "Be merciful, for I am merciful." I'm glad God's a merciful God. I need His mercy. Listen, if it was not for His mercy, we would all be consumed. But God said, "I'll have mercy." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Now listen, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Think of the mercy of God that he had on you in saving you and in not destroying you when you let him down or you failed him. God said, even when we were dead in our sins, he had mercy on us. We deserved the judgment of God, and rightly so, and in that judgment, he had mercy.
Amen.
God's judgment on mankind was death, physical and spiritual and eternal. But in mercy, he provided salvation for mankind and offered it to us by his grace. He had pity on us and showed compassion on us, even though we were under his judgment. The Bible says that God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's the mercy of God. I know what I deserve, but I praise God for his mercy that I don't get what I deserve. How about you? But oh, we want to make sure everybody else gets what they deserve, don't we? Oh, yeah, we want to make sure that brother gets what he deserves. Oh, he's lazy. Oh, I want him to get what he deserves. No, God says, you know what? Maybe you'll get what you deserve. But you won't, because I'm merciful to you. I remember the sons of thunder. You remember them guys? James and John. Oh, they wanted to call fire down out of heaven and burn people up. And Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. They didn't have any mercy, did they? God is a God of mercy, and he wants his people to be people of mercy. And if we're going to show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, we will have to be merciful in our dealings and judgment with others. Because all the while we're sowing and reaping. We either are sowing mercy for our times of judgment, or we are forfeiting that mercy because we sowed not, and neither shall we reap. Sometimes we need to have a little sympathy. Sometimes we need to have a little compassion, a little understanding in our judgments. Listen, if we deal sternly with others, then others will deal sternly with us. If we deal harshly with others, then others will deal harshly with us. If we have little to no compassion on others, then others will have little to no compassion on us. If we are quick to accuse and condemn without taking the time to understand, then others will do likewise to us. But if we sow compassion and mercy in our judgments, then we will receive mercy when we of others. If we'll not give the benefit of the doubt, then we're not going to receive the benefit of the doubt when we need it and when we want it. If we want to be considered innocent until proven guilty, then we must not judge others as guilty until proven innocent. You following? That's judgment, isn't it? Remember, with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured unto you again. You set the standard for the mercy you receive from others by the mercy that you sow. You set the standard for the mercy you receive in life by the mercy that you sow by your life. So we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves, do we? Because we're setting our own standards of receiving, because we are setting the standards of our sowing. How much more could we have and enjoy materially, socially, and judgmentally if we were careful about our sowing and our measuring? Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we heard of an internal principle. But let me ask you, Christian, wherein have you been lacking in the sowing department? You readily complain about the reaping, but are you diligently concerned about the sowing? The sowing and the reaping principle is consistent and operates in every area of life and relationship. Perhaps there is some sowing that you need to beef up on. Perhaps there's some sowing you need to begin. Perhaps you've been sowing a bad crop. Well, while you're taking in the fruit of the bad seed, begin sowing some good seed, and you will rejoice when it begins coming in. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're not saved. You're watching, you're listening, you've never been saved. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, God gives another principle and a promise. He says, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now then, God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth to die in man's place and to shed his blood for man's sin. He was buried in man's tomb and rose again from the dead so that man can be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's God's grace. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's mercy. If you will honor God by believing his word and receiving his Son as your Lord and Savior, then you will receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. But if you continue to despise him by rejecting his word and not receiving his Son, you will be lightly esteemed at the great white throne judgment of God, who will then justly, fairly, and legally condemn you to an eternity in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My friend, if you'll honor God by believing his word and trusting his Son, he'll honor you by forgiving your sins and saving your soul and giving you eternal life. You say, "Preacher, I want that. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want eternal life. And I realize it's only in Jesus. And I want to receive him as my Savior tonight." Would you slip your hand up? You can do it right where you sit. You don't have to come up an aisle. You don't have to go anywhere, do anything. It's just between you and God, a private prayer between you and the Lord. If you're watching or listening, please don't put it off. Tomorrow could be too late to call upon the name of the Lord by faith. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we have so many complaints in our lives. But Father, we're the ones that are setting the standard in our sowing for our reaping, our own reaping. And if we fail to see the principle and we fail to honor you in it and sow to the Spirit, then Father, how can we complain if we're reaping corruption? I pray you'd help us to understand and help us to get busy in sowing to the things of the Spirit, and having the reaping that is the result of our own sowing. You created a principle, but we set the standard. Help us to set it high. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, as we close our service tonight with 816. "Have thine own way, Lord." Well, we've heard some of the Lord's way today. We've heard some of the Lord's way tonight. And maybe we just got off track a little bit. Maybe we lost sight of that sowing and reaping. And we got more concerned about the reaping than we were the sowing. And then we weren't reaping, and so we started complaining. And the reason we're not reaping is because we weren't sowing. Or maybe you're reaping that bad crop. Don't give up. Start reaping a good one, or start sowing a good one. And in due season, that good crop will come in, and you'll rejoice. It's up to you. If you have any questions about going to heaven, I want you to meet me right here in the front. We'll help you and we'll show you how you can know for sure. you're going to heaven when you die. Number 816.